In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning, Christ Church. It was so good to see so many of you over the past couple of weekends, and I can't wait to see you again in person in October. This morning, we begin a new preaching series on community. If you joined us for the weekend away, or you joined the live stream, you got a little taster for where we will be going with this. Father Terry gave us a rousing vision for community in the life of our church, and I've followed up with an acknowledgement of the difficulties that we face. Community is so good, and yet it is so hard. If I were to sum up the totality of the scriptural witness on community, it would be this: community is the ideal, and there is no ideal community. Community is the ideal, and there is no ideal community. Let's start with the first. Community is the ideal. Community is God's intention for the human purpose. We were not designed to exist alone. Right at the very beginning, God himself, a community of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, says, "Let us make human beings in our image, to be like us," Genesis 1:26. We were created out of the overflow of love between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, created in God's image to be like God. Not self-seeking, isolated individuals, but other-focused, relational beings created more than anything else to simply love God, be with God, to love our neighbor and be with our neighbor. As God's intention for creation goes awry by human sin, again and again and again, God calls humanity back into community. In the calling of Sarah and Abraham, God's response to the disintegration of creation is Israel, a people called, commissioned, set apart, to live in covenant community with God and one another. So too, as God's rescue plan reaches messianic fulfillment in Jesus, what does God do? You guessed it. Create a new community, a new humanity, the church. From Jesus' calling of the 12 apostles to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, God's answer to the brokenness of this world is community. A people, again, called, commissioned, set apart to live in a new covenant community we call the church. And at the consummation of all things, as Jesus returns to complete the good work that he's begun in and through us, we again see community. Revelation, the last book of the Bible, pretending things to come, is the story of a church, however beleaguered and besieged, triumphing over sin and Satan to live with one another and our God in everlasting community. In the four great movements of Scripture, from creation to revelation, from the Abrahamic covenant to the new covenant in Christ, community is at the very heart of God's intention and design for this world and for us. Community is the ideal. And Scripture is also clear, there is no ideal community. This is one of the things that I love the most about the Bible. It is rigorously realistic. From creation to covenant after covenant, we see the breakdown of God's intention and design as his perfect plan is worked out through us imperfect people. In creation itself, of course, Adam and Eve initiate the unraveling of community as they seek a way of existence, the knowledge of good and evil, apart from God. Their pride and hubris leads to a severing of relationship between themselves and God, the original rupture that we continue to replicate over and over to this day. And Israel, far from being a paragon of community, is largely a story of failure and fragmentation. To the extent that God calls a prophet, Hosea, into a relationship with a habitually adulterous spouse, a gut-wrenching symbol of Israel's idolatry, dalliances with other gods. The opposite of idealistic, Israel is the story of backbiting, infighting, intrigue, and sedition. Oh, and the church? Well, from the Gospels through the epistles, we see fallible, fallen humans like us failing to live up to the calling of Christ. The handpicked apostles of Jesus didn't exactly pass the togetherness test. And just after we hear about the idyllic early church, knit together by the Holy Spirit in heart and mind, living life and faith together, and even sharing all things in common, Acts 2 and 4, we meet Ananias and Sapphira, who undermine the entire divine operation by withholding from the collective, Acts 5. Oh, and the repeated calls to unity throughout the letters of the New Testament? Most of the time, it's Paul and other pastors pleading with a deeply divided church, reminding them of their calling in Christ as they habitually indulge in fractious self-centeredness. Scripture is clear. Community is the ideal. And there is no ideal community. Yes, it's a bit of a contradiction. But that contradiction lives in us. Just this past May, the U.S. Surgeon General, Dr. Vivek Murthy, released an eye-opening 82-page report, bluntly titled, "Our Epidemic of Loneliness and Isolation." As rightly concerned as we were with the global coronavirus pandemic, this report focuses on the more seemingly innocuous, but no less insidious, epidemic of seclusion. The findings of this report are astounding. In 2018, only 16% of Americans reported feeling very attached to their local community. And upwards of 60% of Americans reported feeling habitually lonely, with half of us admitting a significant sense of disconnection and isolation, making lonesomeness, quote, more widespread than many other major health issues of our day. This deep and pervasive problem is particularly acute among young adults. The rate of loneliness among young adults has increased every year between 1976 and 2019. Notably, social media, Snapchat, Instagram, and the rest, while promising connectivity and certainly fostering community in many respects, seems also to have an adverse effect. Young people who reported using social media for more than 2 hours a day had double the perceptions of social isolation compared to those who used it for less than 30 minutes a day. Perhaps this has something to do with the happiness that we like to project to the world. Well, the reality might be a little more complex. As a meme I once saw put it, "I hope one day that your life is as good as it looks on Facebook." And given the connection between mind, soul, and body, this significant mental health issue impacts our overall well-being. A synthesis of data across 16 independent longitudinal studies shows poor social relationships were associated with a 29% increase in the risk of heart disease and a 32% increase in the risk of stroke. Accordingly, the report surmises lacking social connection has the same health consequences as smoking up to 15 cigarettes a day or drinking 6 alcoholic beverages. 15 cigs and 6 Coors a day. Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? But as dire as these findings are, and they should be a wake-up call for all of us, the report also notes, quote, the healing effects of social connection and community. Here's the flip side. Every level of increase in social connection corresponds with a risk reduction across many health conditions. Community is vital to living a fulfilled and happy life, enhancing life satisfaction, educational attainment, and workplace performance. Lo and behold, quote, social connection is a fundamental human need, as essential to survival as food, water, shelter. Throughout history, our ability to rely on one another has been crucial to survival. Now, even in modern times, we human beings are biologically wired for social connection. And let me just interpolate here. We human beings were and are not just biologically wired, but created for social connection. Created by a God who longs to be in relationship with us and for us to be in relationship with one another. So here's the deal. Scripture is both idealistic and realistic when it comes to community. God designed us for connection. Without it, we wither. With it, we thrive. And in our gospel this morning from Matthew 18, Jesus both assumes that we will commit ourselves to community while also assuming that when we do, we will hurt, offend, and disappoint one another. Jesus' biblical wisdom here continues and carries forward that essential scriptural insight. Community is the ideal, and there is no ideal community. Yes, what we hear in this little scriptural snippet are the ground rules for dealing with someone who has offended the covenant community. But what's equally important is the assumption behind Jesus' teaching. Jesus doesn't refer to a, quote, member of the church, as the translation we hear this morning clumsily puts it, like we're a member of a club or a museum or something. The word he uses here is adelphos, brother or sister. Jesus assumes that the church isn't just a social get-together. It is a family. Not just a gathering of convenience, but a familial community of deep connection and abiding commitment, no matter what. And he assumes that, like any family, we will hurt and offend one another, laying out how to address such faults, not whether, but when we commit them. Yet even Jesus, as Jesus lays out this approach, starting from private reproof versus public humiliation, he does so within the context of mercy, forgiveness, and perhaps most importantly, continued community. The aim here is reconciliation, returning the offender to relationship, not shaming them into permanent separation. Again, Jesus is both realistic and idealistic. He assumes that we will upset and fail one another. He anticipates that John will brag about beating Peter to the empty tomb while the women were there first, that Peter will boldly proclaim the messiahship of Christ one day while denying him the next, all the while James will be trying to elbow out the other apostles for the privileged position at Jesus' right hand in the soon coming kingdom, even if he has no idea what he's asking for. Insert facepalm emoji here. Nevertheless, Jesus calls them into community with him, with one another. And so too, Jesus calls us. Over the weeks ahead, we will be talking about community. Community that is both crucial and, we will readily admit, challenging. Community that is both idealistic and realistic. Community that is part of our God-intended design, yet strained by the brokenness within us and this world. Community in a culture of individuality, transience, and cutoff. What we will not suggest is that creating community will be easy or problem-free. What we will suggest is that, hard as it is to form and fashion in our modern world, and even harder to sustain, it is essential, quite literally, that this is a matter that cuts to the very essence of our being and well-being. Community is the ideal, and there is no ideal community. So let's be idealistic. Let's be realistic. But let's do community together. For as the late Timothy Keller put it, Christian community is not the place to hide from our problems, but the place to face them together. Amen.